And I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Gavin O'Leary. He's a writer and director of a new three-part comedy from COY, and it's called On a Wing and a Prayer. Good afternoon, Gavin. How are you?
Good afternoon.
We were just talking a little bit about off-air there about this play. It's, I suppose, first of all, tell us a little bit about the production, the play.
The premise. Okay, so the premise is, I wrote it about 4 years ago. And it's a bit of a farcical comedy set in rural Ireland. It's fictional. And it's got a touch of Kilnascully and Father Ted and Fools and Horses. And nothing's happened in this village in 20 years. No one's even died. A missing sheep has kept the Gardaí busy with 20 years. Should right. only live 10 years. So not much has happened. And then out of nowhere, now this is going to sound grim, and I do promise your listeners that this is a comedy. Out of nowhere, this teenager just gets killed by a couple of brothers who just so happen to be the priests, and it kind of just pitches itself up for absolute farcical comedy in every scenario and scene that's in this is kind of like a comedy scene with big characters portrayed by some phenomenal actors that I was so happy to get.
And like from the opening scene, you're straight into it. Like set the scene for us.
So you're straight in. There's the opening scene. I wanted to give people a taste for what these priests are really, really like. This one of the priests should not be a priest. He likes to drink. He likes to gamble. I think he's only there for the free digs.
Right.
So you get a taste of him, and then you go straight into the guard station, and we give you a taste of what the other leading characters are going to be like. They're a bit like Pat Short kind of
right.
type that, you know, they don't have a clue. And then something happens and these people need to figure it out. The priests need to try and get away with it. The guards need to try and figure out who's done this. And there's a plot there, but it is genuinely big comedy-wise.
Right.
Every scene has a big laugh and every line was written with comedy in mind.
And right, like you're the writer of the comedy. Where did you get the story from? Obviously, it's coming from just inside your head and with some life experiences and there are people who may know or something like that. Or
yeah, funny you should say that. Definitely some life experience. Anyway, I've never went on stage up until 4 years ago. I moved to Dungarvan and it just happened and I loved it. I got the bug and I decided to myself, yeah, I could write this. And before that, I think...
And you have never written anything before that?
No, I mean, I was in a nativity play like everyone else when I was about six. I played sheep number two.
Right.
Not even sheep number one. I think my teacher taught me, don't even talk, don't even bear. She didn't even trust me to bear and I was playing a sheep.
Right.
I was outshined by by sheep number one, which was a chair with a rug thrown over it. You've done a much better job than me. So that's my interest in drama going back. So I got dragged into this and I just thought, look, I'll write something. So I came up with the characters first. I don't know how, but I just these characters came to me. They're like kind of based them off my relatives of mine or relatives of my partner. And then I just thrown them into this scenario of what would happen.
Yeah.
And a lot of the scenes actually just came to me, but others actually happened in my life. I think we mentioned my grandmother off air.
Yeah.
Third scene in is an actual story that happened between myself and my grandmother. I had to readapt it.
And just tell the listeners who your grandmother is.
Because Yeah.
Because I know, like, we spoke about it, like, and I've met her loads of times while she was, like, she was a nut job.
Yeah,
really was a great, great character.
She always, anyone who's met her has always said, oh, she's an absolute legend. She used to always make us laugh. My grandfather was the same. He was, I suppose, we always had a laugh in the house. May Yellop is who you're talking about. My grandmother. Some people might know her as May Mangan from Raheem Park. But I suppose that's where the comedy comes from. I always had characters like that in my life.
Yes.
So it was, my life was probably one big long sketch show anyway, you know. It was not right. was taken serious. Even if a funeral, we'd always try and find the funny side to something.
Yeah, which the Irish are good at.
Yeah, we're very good at that. So inspirational wise, it would come from being in a mundane job myself where I had a lot of thinking time. So I pretty much covered the plot up in my head while I was working and it was really easy to do.
Yeah.
And from life experience and luck, definitely luck. Being in Dungarvan and being around all these incredible actors committed themselves to this when I gave them the script, along with my brother who wrote the theme tune.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah,
yeah, Stephen O'Leary, who's done a few shows here, he wrote the theme tune. He wrote it this course about 10 years ago, and it was quite funny. And I told him, finish it off, we'll have it as the theme tune. Like, I mean,
brilliant.
It could flirt with the charts, this thing.
Yeah.
It's that good, yeah.
Right, well, what we're going to do, we're just going to play a little promo from the show. So if you just listen to this just for a minute or so, okay?
It's just a wing and a prayer.
Oh, you're drunk, you silly old fool. And still you cannot see the dirty old town. The dirty old...
So drunk.
The great one has only left a note.
From the producer who has brought you nothing because it's his debut. A story of two priests, two guards, and one sheep. Starring DiCaprio, if he says yes, and Hardy, if he lifts the restraining order.
I mean,
he's in!
I couldn't think of a good joke.
IMBD will say it's fantastic when they hear it. It has 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, because nobody has rated it. The Global Express has given it way too many stars.
What the
Don't start cursing!
Of sweet, unbearded baby Jesus!
Sponsored by someone, please. The Broadcasting Authorities of Ireland and CRY 104 FM presents
A Wing and a Prayer.
God only knows how this is going to go. Now I'm sitting in the waiting room, talking to myself on A Wing and a Prayer.
Episode 1, airing October 26th at 6 p.m. If you miss it, you'll be as useful as shoveling smoke with a pitchfork in the wind.
It's funeral time.
Terms, conditions apply. Stan John Stack, Chris Common, Mac O'Rourke, Joe Kelly, and a bunch of other good actors.
Well, that'll just give you a little taster, I presume, of what's the kind of comic that's in it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not taking this serious.
No.
Like, this is a bit of fun.
This is huge fun. And whilst the script was funny, I was very confident in the comedy and the plot was there. My cast were phenomenal. They just were like John Stack, Chris Common, Mark O'Rourke, Joe Kelly. They were the leads.
And when you're working with these guys that have a lot of experience, I presume there's a little bit of input there as well. And you know, this works, this mightn't work. Or, you know, there's a little bit working with people like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, huge. Three of them are actually directors themselves. They're actors, directors. One has worked in Hollywood as an extra in lots of really big movies. Like, he's worked under Scorsese and he's worked with DiCaprio. So you obviously like to look for input out of all these people who've been around all these great and been at it for years. I'm new to the scene. 4 years ago, I went on stage, got the bug, loved it. But I may have an ego, but not enough to say that I'm in charge here. No, you've got to kind of say, what can this person, if this person tells me that this is what it should be, and what you have to listen.
Yeah.
And you've got to let them ad-lib. The script is the blueprint. But if you don't let these really good, talented ad-lib, you're not going to bring it to another level. And this certainly did. There's some bits in here that was ad-lib.
Being a director like that, you have to let, as you say, let the ad-lib come into it, and a lot of that kind of stuff just becomes spontaneous then, rather than, as you say, you have a blueprint and you can kind of walk around that then and even put flesh in some of that in other places.
Yeah, like, of course. I mean, if you read this, we storyboarded this, we done one rehearsal, because they don't need to learn the lines because they were doing it in the radio. So if you just go by blueprint, it will come across as something that's been read.
Yes.
And what you want
yes.
is for a little bit of acting to be involved. And if you let them ad-lib, you know, there's nothing more natural than
and it's a very hard thing to do, even though, as you say, you know, you have a piece of paper in front of you, and if you're reading it off,
Yeah.
It does come across as someone that's reading something rather than, you know, as you say, acting it out and playing that part.
Of course.
That's the most important part of it. You have to immerse yourself in that character.
And the difficult thing about radio is that if we were doing this on stage or if there was a camera put in front of us, they would have the scene and the setting.
Yes.
So they would be able to make out where this is going or what's happening or the environment and everything else. Because you're in a studio, you don't have the environment, so it's a little bit more difficult to say this is where we are, this is what's happening, and everyone in their heads when they're recording this is thinking to them, could picture, if we say it's a pub scene, they're all picturing different pubs in their head, they're all picturing different, like this person could be sitting close or could be farther away. You've got to kind of get them all onto the same page, and then it let us, like I said, the script is the blueprint, then let them off.
And when you made a point there, like, you know, if they're inside in the pub, do you set the setting for those guys and or those actors and look, lads, right, this is what the pub looks like?
And
just kind of give them a general idea in their head and then off you go.
Because if
they're totally in different places in their heads,
you get different experience, because one of them might shout, like thinking that they're in a different environment, different feeling. What you got to do is you really got to set the scene up from now, because of this, the standard of actors, they pretty much get this fairly quick, what's going on, you know. Like, for instance, one of the scenes is set in a church, and it's kind of like an announcement of what's just happened, and there's obviously needs to be a little bit more projection in your voice because you're speaking to an audience. They got that straight away.
Yeah.
And they got that there was conversations going to be happening in different parts of the church. So the voices went down, the tone went down, and depending on what they were talking about, whether it was a secret or whatever, you know, they really got it and they got the character. And like, you have two priests and you could see a priest and you could say, that's exactly how a priest should speak. These two priests are completely different people. They're brothers, but they're completely different people. So it had to be played completely different. So they absolutely nailed it. And the same with the guards. The priests are a bit like Delboy and Rodney. That's how, like, there's one leader there, but they're both a bit of a joke, you know? And the guards are a bit like Ted and Dougal. There's one kind of really silly guy that you really liked, you know, but the other guy is driving the ship, but he's trying to be. Yeah, he's driving the ship, but he's driving it in the wrong way, you know? So the experience of directing, it's my first time directing as well, and directing directors who has loads of experience in actors,
to have these fellas with so much experience and you're actually telling them what to do is difficult, or what way did it, it was a bit
intimidating, but what I had on my side was I've worked with all of them in some capacity on the stage or in a variety show, and we've met each other quite a bit so at least there was that. The only person I didn't meet in the studio was Tom O'Keefe.
Yeah.
So I was actually probably more overwhelmed by the sound engineer than I was the actors, which was good. And it just turns out that Tom is one of the nicest guys ever.
Made it so
easy for me anyway. Yeah. He's absolutely phenomenal. Like, I wouldn't change a single cast member. I wouldn't change the sound engineer. I wouldn't change the radio station. They were so welcoming. And they gave
well,
up.
Well, that's brilliant, and that's what is
so
here.
And that's
what radio is all about, and that's what especially local radio is promoting, the likes of new talent.
Yeah,
you know, and especially playwriters or local lads. It's great to see that, and that's what we're here for. It's great, and just before we go, I suppose theatre in Ireland is still very strong, isn't it?
Yeah.
And as part of it, I suppose, going on to radio as well, it is quite strong. Like, we all remember, I remember even growing up as a kid, and there was always some kind of a play on radio, and that even though it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I suppose when you get into something like that, you know, it's very popular still.
I would suggest to anyone who's never been to a play, pick a comedy out, go to it. It's a completely different experience.
You could
watch The Hangover tonight, but know that they had a few goes off that scene.
Yeah.
But what's happening on stage is raw and real.
Yes.
And even if there's a mistake, it's real. And it's even much funnier. I think the experience of theatre is far better than film, because you get that real I was there when it happened, especially if it's great. And I did a bit of acting. I was a character in this as well. I play a 16-year-old. I mean, I'm 35. But for your listeners, I don't sound... I sound 11. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't much of a stretch to go to 16. Yeah, they're not even going to believe that I'm 35. Right. Everything else is aged except the voice. And but yeah, I mean, it's prevalent. The theatre is prevalent in Ireland, and it's brilliant and it's strong. And comedy... as fast as this, there's definitely a mark for it. We haven't
absolutely
seen,
like, and I mean, yeah. We, you know, and especially the way things are at the moment, that's exactly what we need.
A crack and a bit of a laugh.
Yeah,
and
have a bit of laugh.
They're all going to be locked down now, so they have no choice but to listen.
So again, Gavin, it's going out. When is it going out?
So it's going out the 26th, which is next Monday. That's the first episode at 6 p.m. Second episode is on the Tuesday, 6 p.m. And the Wednesday, 6 p.m. will be the finale. And I'm sure it'll be available as a podcast if you want to see our voice soon afterwards.
So, Gavin, thank you very much for coming in to us.
No, thanks for having me.
And it was a pleasure having you in. And I hope it really goes well for you. I'm looking forward to listening to it myself.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that.